Turn back again tonight to the verse that we've been looking at. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm always amazed at some of the verses that we find in Scripture that can say so much in so few words in space. And this is one of those precious verses. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." After he makes that first statement concerning God manifest in the flesh, he carries on in that verse to say this, that he is also believed on in the world. That is, God manifest in the flesh. God in the person of a man is believed on in the world. When you stop and think about how that from that event, that crucifixion there in Jerusalem, how a man of such simple beginnings, it seems, a man who did so many things yet in so little time, and yet he is proclaimed and preached all over the world. And by the world there, it is surely also Jews and Gentiles. And to find out that he, when you find out the circumstances and the situation of the world, that he is believed on in, that makes it even a greater wonder. You see, in the world of which he was not of, he said, "I'm not of this world," and of which from Adam's fall all the way down to the coming of Christ was generally and overall a world of nothing but unbelief. Nothing but unbelief. One nation identifying with Jehovah God. But yet all that generation that came out of Egypt dying and perishing in the wilderness. Why? Because of unbelief. You see, from that fall in the garden, this is where it all began. If you'll hold back here and turn to Genesis chapter 3 and look and listen to what Eve was deceived into thinking and how she was deceived and not believing God. It says in Genesis 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. That's where unbelief first shows its ugly head with regard to what God had said. In other words, the question is to the faithfulness and the truthfulness of God in what he said to Adam and Eve. Hath God said? That's the question of unbelief. And as Paul says in Hebrews, it's still that sin which doth so easily beset us. We're always looking for some kind of fantastic, awful sin to put in that place, but it is really, in that context, the awful sin of unbelief. And yet, in the midst of all that unbelief, in the midst of all that sinfulness and that spiritual death and idolatry and everything else that's gone on from the day of Jesus Christ right down to the day and continues even greater today, and yet he still believed on in the world. And since that day, none have believed God of themselves and cannot, apart from a miracle of grace and the work of the Spirit of God. Not one man, not one woman, not one descendant of Adam and Eve has ever of themselves believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Well, you say we've got a lot of people who believe in Jesus. But faith is not simply to believe that there is a God. If you just believe that there is a God, if that kind of believing is what faith and believing on Christ is in this world, then any God will do. But this is how even the devils have that kind of faith. When James said, Thou dost believe that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. A mere belief that there is one God, a belief that there is a God, all these kind of beliefs that men talk about even in this world today, that is not what it is to believe. Just like with Eve, she failed to believe what God had said to her. And faith is to believe what God says about himself and his salvation in Christ, and to trust him and lean on him and rely on him for it in its totality. If we don't believe, now listen, if we don't believe on Christ for all our salvation, we don't really believe on him for any of our salvation. He is a total Savior. It is not faith that's the gift of God, will never be Christ plus anything. Faith can never be Christ less his cross work that we know to be true. And faith believes the faith of God's elect, which is simply the gospel. We hear the scriptures speak of the faith of God's elect, and in many of those instances, that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But true faith that by which we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is the faith of God's elect. It's believing what God says in His record. And when Christ is believed on in this world that is so hostile, I mean, I never in my lifetime have ever felt the hostility to the true Christ, to the things of God, to the things of right, like I felt it in the last 6 months, let's say. You look on every hand, there are those who are out and out against everything that we would be believing concerning Christ, concerning what He says about right and truth. On every hand, they unite against it. And then when you add to that the number of people in the name of Christ who hate the truth about Christ, who hate that fact of what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary, you can know and you can be sure that one of the greatest miracles next of God being manifest in the flesh is anybody in this world believing on Him. You see, that which men say is such a little thing, all you've got to do is believe. All you've got to do is exercise your faith in Jesus Christ. I saw in an advertisement today on TV, I know it cost a tremendous amount. Here's this worldwide preacher comes on there and he starts talking about peace and rest and all these kind of things that you're longing for and looking for. And something like this, all you got to believe on is one man, Jesus Christ. He didn't say anything about what Christ did. He didn't identify Him for who He is. Just any kind of faith is okay. So when one truly believes on, and that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about somebody genuinely believing on Him in this world. When someone believes on Christ, it's a work of God's sovereign grace and power. Absolutely. There's only one way that you can believe on this Christ. And that's if God gives the gift of faith. You know, it's amazing how many people can quote this verse in Ephesians 2, and they seem like so many, like other verses in Scripture, they never get the whole of the verse. The verse says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith." They say the Bible says that. No. The Bible says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that." In other words, if we have any sense of what proper grammar or word association is, he's talking about how we're saved through that faith that is not of yourselves. You can't drum it up. You can't make it. It's the gift of God. So the truth is, if anybody believes to the saving of their soul, if anybody truly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because God gave them the gift of faith. And if He's given them the gift of faith, they will believe. I don't believe that faith can, that's the gift of God, cannot believe. As many times as I've tried to convince myself in various situations that I didn't believe, I still believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ability to believe on Christ, the gift of God that this faith is, it's from the effort or the work or the exercise of the three persons in the Godhead. Turn over, first of all, to Acts 13. Acts 13. This is God the Father assuring that His people will have faith, that they do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 13 and verse 48. Paul is preaching. And I dare say he's preaching in a place where they are the very least likely to believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. And as he's preaching, it says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, heard it as being from God Himself, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Who ordained them to eternal life? God the Father. He ordained them to eternal life. He fixed, He determined that they would have eternal life and that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. Alright? Look over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 29. This is the Son. Paul says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ." It's given to you because of Christ, because of His work here on this earth, in this world, His finished work. Because of that, it's given you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. First of all, it's given you because of Christ to believe on Him. His work, His blood shed, His sacrifice, His substitutionary laying down of His life guarantees that you believe on Him. Then look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of God's Spirit. The Spirit of God gave them new birth, and the evidence of new birth is faith. Now, I hear all kinds of evidences set forth, as they say, the evidence of a born-again child of God. But I'm telling you, while the Lord gives grace to His people, He brings change in all their lives, He gives them gifts and He does other things, but the evidence that one has been born of God is that he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what it means in Scripture when God says that He will give His people a new heart. What did they not have except a deceitful heart, a desperately wicked heart, and they had no heart to believe on Him, but He gives to them a new heart, a covenant new heart, and the Scripture says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's what a new heart is. You see, faith itself is not the cause of any of these things, but is rather the effect of it. It's the effect of the Father ordaining us to eternal life and causing us to believe. It's the effect of the Son dying for us, and because of His finished work paying that price, we are to believe. And it's the result of the Holy Spirit giving us life and therefore faith. Because believing is so contrary to nature. When Eve was focused on that tree, it was pleasant to the eye, good to the taste, worked on the pride that was natural to her. And when she was drawn by those things, she didn't believe God. She didn't believe God's word. One of these days, we're all going to lay down or fall down. And it'll be the last hours of our life. And there'll be so many things that we have heard and so many things that we naturally would believe and trust and rest in. But in that hour, the only thing that will be of any comfort, that will matter at all, that will be true to us, is what God said. What He said about Himself, but most especially what He said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it will be known whether or not we believe on Him in this world. You see, believing God very often, most often believes, means believing what is contrary to and that which is generally accepted. Paul said this in Acts chapter 24. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, after the way which they, who? The world, especially the religious world, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my Father, believing. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. You see, with the heart we believe God. With that faith that He gives, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe unto Him, in Him unto salvation. But this is what Paul said also in Romans 15:13. He said, now the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. Everybody wants joy. Everybody wants peace. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's where joy and peace is. It's been believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in believing God in this world. Peter says it like this, whom having not seen, ye love. That's an impossibility without some knowledge of the truth. You can't love one that you've not seen, except in the case that God tells you about Him and what He's accomplished in His Word and gives you faith to believe it. You believe on Him whom you've not seen. If you've got any hope in either one of these political candidates that are fighting tooth and nail now, if you've got any hope and any deliverance in by them, you'll be sadly disappointed. Your confidence better be in one that you've not seen. He said, whom we love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I guess you could say it like this. We believe in this world on one who's not in this world. We believe and we trust in one outside of ourself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And like poor Peter, Peter had his ups and downs. He had his moments of brash reactions, unbelief. But when the Lord asked him, asked those disciples, will you also go away? They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? We believe and are sure thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. His assurance wasn't in his believing. It was in the one he believed on. And to believe is a total reliance on Christ. And if we believe on Christ, if we believe on Him in this world right now, it's a miracle of grace. And if anyone claims to have stopped believing, they never did believe. Because God does not give imperfect gifts, and faith is His gift. Today I thought about it, especially with all that's going on. All the uproar in this nation, in the world generally, all the fighting and bickering and things like this. And I thought, Lord, in the midst of all this, Your Son is believed on somewhere by some people in this world. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God can cause His people who are naturally unbelievers in the midst of this maze of religion and this burning flame, it seems like, of controversy and wickedness and everything. You can cause Your people to have hope and joy and peace. And it's all in believing. All in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing that He is believed on in this world. Father, we thank You tonight so much for Your dear Son. It is amazing that You would enable such as we are to know Him, to believe on Him, to love Him, to trust Him. We thank You. As the hymn writer said, Lord, keep us cleaving, still believing Your truth, Your promises that are yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for it. We thank You for that precious faith to believe on Him. We pray in His name. Amen.